Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Julie Hayden here, broadcasting from the Chuck and Julie Show World Headquarters in Westminster. And we can go ahead and bring Chuck on up now. As the intro mentioned, where Chuck publishes the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle today and tomorrow, the paper goes to the printer. So these 2 days of the month are usually pretty busy. But Chuck joining us from the world headquarters of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. Hey, Chuck, how's it going?
It's just going great. We're working away here. We have a revolt of the staff because they have to be in darkness for this picture to work. But you know, that's
like you said, that's what happens when you have a multimedia empire. Right. So you've got to make sacrifices. Hey, a lot to talk about today. And I want to let folks know, we're going to leave it the whole show. We haven't had the whole show open for phones for a while. So we're going to do that. So if you want to weigh in on the things we're talking about, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And folks on Zoom, just go ahead and unmute your microphone and your camera if you want, and you can pop on in too. And I also like to remind folks, you can listen to the podcast. Just go to live or get it later at chuckandjulie.com. So Chuck, you know, today's sort of legal day. I was thinking two, what I consider to be very courageous and very just decisions by two prosecutors. One of them, George Brockler here in Colorado, our very own George Brockler. The other one in Louisville, Kentucky, basically, you know, the mob is mad. They're already starting to riot. Why rioting and destroying restaurants and businesses is the appropriate answer, people think, is beyond me. But they're rioting in Louisville. As far as I know, no riots here in Denver yet. But should we start with the George Brockler decision?
Well, the Kentucky decision, you know, I've often said that, you know, no-knock raids are really a travesty 99% of the time. The police in places like Houston just use them regularly, claiming there are guns available. And they've resulted in innocent people dying in lots of places, including Denver. And they ought to just be in the most exceptional circumstances rather than when SWAT teams get bored and want to kind of practice or put into practice what they've been practicing for. This one, it seemed like the officers, it's a good decision, it appears. The one fired into the house with no reason. And the others, the guy fired back. You know, they said they yelled police, and they had witnesses who said they yelled police. Although, you know, just because you're a gang member rushing somebody's door yelling police, are you supposed to just, well, you know? And they didn't indict. It's interesting. They originally indicted, but didn't indict the boyfriend who fired at them.
Right. Well, let's back people up catch people up to speed. So we'll talk about the Louisville, Kentucky decision first. That was where, you know, half a year ago or so, Breonna Taylor was caught basically in the crossfire between police trying to execute a no-knock warrant and her boyfriend. And what the district attorney today revealed was that the police did knock at the door. So they had a no-knock warrant, although they did knock first and then started going in, and they did identify themselves as police. But her boyfriend, who was in the house, apparently claims that he thought they were intruders, maybe her ex-boyfriend, and he opened fire and they returned fire, which is why the indictment came down, not in Breonna Taylor's death, according to the prosecutor there, but that one of the officers just sort of randomly was shooting his gun and the bullets went through into other apartments. And he was charged with wanton recklessness, I think it was, for doing that. And I think you're right, Chuck. In both of these cases, to me, it's interesting. I think in both of these cases, if the police action had been different, certainly the issues would not have been there. But I think in this case, the prosecutor, they're taking a lot of heat. But I got to admit it, when you look at it, if you open fire on the cops, even if you think that they are an intruder, maybe you don't deserve to be charged, but I think it'd be pretty hard to convince a jury to, you know, to convict the cop of murder. If you fire on the police, they're going to fire back, right? I mean, that's, but it goes back to what you said. That's why no-knock raids are such a problem, because it is chaotic and confusing.
Yeah, I just because you yell, you're sitting in a chair and somebody yells police, which you probably didn't hear, and smash through your door firing with guns and everything else, what is the normal reaction going to be if you have arms in your house? It's going to be fire back or fire through. So the whole idea of no-knock raids is asinine in the first place 99% of the time. But the officers themselves, I mean, how can you blame them? I mean, they're enforcing the law as ridiculously written or as ridiculously enforced. They didn't do, I think, anything particularly wrong, although just the hideousness of no-knock raids. So I think it was fair. Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, you know, we all know that you know, as far as the protesters go, they'll riot anyway. I mean,
they were going to riot no matter what. They were going to riot no matter what. And their pictures of U-Hauls arriving. I mean, they were prepared. You know, U-Hauls pulled up to where the protesters were gathered with signs, apparently with, you know, projectiles and things like that. They're ready to riot. And yeah, you know, but you do, again, I think another point, though, is this is why police reform. I mean, it's just not all, you know, pardon the pun here, but maybe not pun, but black and white, right? Like you said, I mean, I was years ago, you know, many years ago, I mean, I've been on no-knock raids as a reporter with the cops, right? And typically, they would do the no-knock raids for one or two, the main reason being because you thought the person had a gun, right? And that's why you sent the SWAT teams in, because you didn't want the officers to get shot at. So they did them immediately, right? You just didn't give the person time to get their gun. And then they would also argue, well, then you didn't want them to destroy the guns. Well, in this case, number one, there was no evidence. What the police were going there for is apparently they thought that Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend was having the drugs delivered to her house, and then he was picking them up from there, right? And so that's why they were doing the warrant at her house. But they had no evidence that I'm aware of that she had a gun. So why did they need the no-knock raid? Nor did they have any evidence that she was involved in the drug dealing, right? Now, somebody may say, well, she was getting the packages there. But you know what? You know, at our house, we get packages from my daughter and her boyfriend from Amazon all the time. I'm sure they're not drugs. But you know what I mean? I don't know what's in them. So she could argue that. So I don't see why they couldn't have just simply executed the warrant, knocked on her door, waited till she opened the door. Why are they doing it in the middle of the night? Identified themselves as officers and said, we have a warrant, right? I mean, I don't know why they had to do a no-knock warrant in her place in the first place.
Well, they knew her schedule, right? I mean, she worked for the police. They could have just gone to her at the time she was at the office saying, we have to search your home because we believe there are drugs there, and retain her briefly and go in there, as opposed to, hey, well, wait till she's in there. We don't like Breonna anyway, or whatever their excuse was. Oh, this would be more fun, and we'll get to bust down the door on a cop themselves. So the system does stink in a lot of ways, but all of this is politics. I think the, you know, the far left want to exploit it. They really don't care what happened. You know, hands up, don't shoot was a false mantra. And so I don't know. Who do you think is going to benefit from this? Do you think the left or the right?
Well, I think the right. Right. I think, again, this is more when you look at it and the facts come out, you know, I mean, frankly, I'm kind of surprised why one officer is, you know, just because his aim, I guess, was worse than the other officers. He gets charged with firing recklessly, although I guess he was shooting through windows and things like that. But I certainly have seen other situations where that wouldn't have been charged. I remember a case years ago in Denver. It was talk about a cluster. The FBI, typically when one agency is doing an activity in another agency's jurisdiction, they let them know, right? So you don't have clusters. But in this case, the FBI was doing some kind of warrant in Capitol Hill. Gunfire erupted. The FBI agents were firing. They fired into another apartment. The other apartment called Denver Police 911 saying, people are shooting. The Denver cops show up on scene, and all they see are these people running around with guns, had no idea they were FBI agents, right? I mean, it was like, you know, but nobody was charged there, right? And so in this case, I kind of think this officer was somewhat of a sacrificial lamb. right. to a certain extent. I think Trump will benefit. And if anybody else wants to weigh in, 888-627-6008 is the number. Well, let's talk. But I think, again, that the prosecutor, who is African-American himself, is being totally skewered by the woke people saying, how can this be? I mean, you know, Breonna Taylor's family settled for $12 million. In the case.
Yeah.
It's not as if, certainly that doesn't take the place of a life, but it's not as if there hasn't been some form of justice, right? As if there hasn't been a recognition that they were, you know, wrong.
Better recognition would be to change the law. So
right.
You just don't willy-nilly have no-knock raids, which are inevitably bound to result in a certain amount of cases.
Well, hasn't Rand Paul has pushed that, right? Breonna's law. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. To do that. Because you're right. No knock raids. And again, no knock raids back in the day, and I don't know what the policies are now, but in the Denver Police Department, there had to be very recent information from, like, say, an informant that the drugs were in the house. They didn't just go raiding houses in no knock raids without any particular reason to suspect the drugs were there at that time.
But the Houston is the same thing. You had to have evidence of drugs. You also had to have a reasonable belief that there were firearms in the premises. And Houston, for 5 years, they just said, well, we think there are.
Right.
And that
was it.
I mean, who knows?
Right.
And so it's easy for the police, you know, the less scrupulous police officers. Yeah, I think they're there. You know,
you raise a good point, though. The mob and the woke people, they just want to use this for chaos and riots. There isn't any kind of rational discussion about, hey, you know what? This isn't, we need to really change the law. Like, they attacked Rand Paul, who was trying to do the reasonable thing that would prevent this from happening in the future. I think they just want to glom onto it. Well, let's move to the case.
That's a really good point, because Rand Paul was one of the few who really recognized that no-knock raids really were, you know, a prescription for disaster, wrote legislation named after Breonna Taylor. And of course, they want to kill him too. So they don't really care.
No, they don't really care. Well, let's move to the case in Denver. So today, George Brockler had a news conference. And let me kind of lay the groundwork because we're going to play some videos so people can know what they're seeing and hearing. So back in July, July 25th, there was what started out as a peaceful protest, as they do, in Aurora over the death of Elijah McClain. And then the protesters, and it was clear this was organized, and we've learned more since then about how these Black Lives Matter movements are organized and are aimed at creating violence and chaos. So they moved then from the Aurora City Center down Alameda, and then they started to go on to I-25, both northbound and southbound, hundreds of people blocking the traffic. Well, in the middle of this, a guy in a blue Jeep got on the interstate, right? And is immediately, didn't realize what was happening, like a lot of other drivers, and is immediately swarmed by the mob. And then kind of speeds through the crowd. Well, George Brockler revealed today that what they have determined what happened was, so that first he kind of pulls up, a protester is trying to block him from getting onto 225, but he can't see, he has no idea there's a mob of people about to swarm the highway, can't see that, nor can any of the other drivers. So he goes around her and then is driving down, and then all of a sudden the mob swarms his car along with all the other vehicles there, and they're beating on it, they're throwing rocks at it, they're hitting it with baseball bats. Then some other guy in a white pickup decides that he doesn't like how fast the Jeep is going, so he rams the Jeep and crashes into it, at which point then the Jeep guy takes off even more, and then somebody else starts shooting at him, right? And then finally he gets out of the crowd situation and he pulls over and stops and contacts police and says, hey, here's what's going on. George Brockler, this is why elections matter. And this is why George Soros is funding all of these campaigns, trying to stop people like George Brockler. Earlier charged the protester who was shooting at the Jeep, missed the Jeep, hit two other protesters. And so that guy's been charged with attempted murder. They're not charging the guy in the pickup truck who rammed the Jeep, because Brockler said that guy wouldn't talk to him, but he thinks the guy thought he was trying to help. And today, George Brockler announced they are not going to charge the driver of the Jeep. So we have three pieces of video, and I first want to show, this is a video of the Jeep. You can see him going through the crowd. This was taken, I think, by a news helicopter over the top. So Thomas, if we could play the Jeep drives through the crowd video. So you see there, that's the Jeep. And previously, and there isn't video of all of this, but he's surrounded, he claims, by people beating him and things like that. Brockler noted, Chuck, he did a great job kind of walking through all the possible charges. Brockler noted, as you see there, he wasn't trying to hit anybody, right? He wasn't swerving at anybody. He wasn't driving toward anybody. He was just kind of going, I think, 29 miles an hour trying to get out of there. This is what the passenger said. The passenger posted something on YouTube and Facebook because they were getting excoriated. And this is, so this is what the, this is the passenger witness statement. Thomas, if we could play that.
Did crash into us. A man with a bat then approached the vehicle and began swinging at the vehicle. We then proceeded to speed off to avoid any potential damage to ourselves and the vehicle. Once we took off from that incident, a gunman then approached the freeway and started firing 7 rounds at the Jeep. We then proceeded to go even faster and made our way through the crowd, which dispersed as we approached it, as well as once the gunfire did go off.
So that sounds kind of reasonable to me. I mean, you can, again, you know, Brockler explained that all the other cars that were caught up in this said it was just complete chaos, confusing and very scary. People were banging on their cars, trying to stop them. And now let's play, this is the district attorney soundbite where Brockler is explaining why he decided that there were going to be no charges filed against the driver of the Jeep.
Person in that situation do? And if someone back there is watching this on Facebook Live saying, well, I would have stopped and tried to figure out why they hit me. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have stopped on that road. I don't know anybody that would have. But he presses on, and these people have moved out of the road. Now there's gunfire. What should he have done after there was gunfire? Pull over and find out why people are shooting at him? No, I wouldn't have. I'd have kept going. So.
Well, that's, you know, that's totally reasonable. The idea that he ought to be indicted is just pure sophistry and pathetic, really. It's the radical left making sure that anybody is caught in their various conniptions and riots and everything else, they're to blame, right? Not the rioters, not the gun shooters. I mean, it's even a close question is pathetic.
But here's the difference then, because let's go back about a month earlier, right, when they were having some of the protests erupting in Denver. And remember, there was a videotape of the woman in a car. She, just like this guy, is just kind of driving down Broadway by the state capitol. All of a sudden, her car is surrounded by the mob, right? And the mob, the protesters, I don't even want to call them a protester, the rioter is jumping on her car, right? So he then gets, you know, he falls off of the car. She's kind of backing up, kind of doing, trying to do a turn to get out of there. In the video, it appears that she drives toward the protester, and she does hit him a little bit, although it doesn't look like he was seriously injured, and then she drives away. Well, guess what? Beth McCann did charge her, right? She was charged with, let me see, what was she charged with? She was a 37-year-old woman charged with third-degree assault on the guy who jumped on her car. Now, did the guy who jumped on her car get charged? No. Right? He's the victim, so to speak. But so that shows the difference. It's a very similar set of circumstances, I think. The woman's lawyer has said she was terrified. People are jumping in her car. She doesn't know there's a protest, just like these guys in Aurora. They were coming from Topgolf, for Pete's sake, on their way to the airport. They didn't know that there was Elijah McClain protest going on. They didn't know that the mob was taking over I-25. Just like this woman, she didn't know what was going on. All she knows, she's surrounded by people. They're banging on her car. They're jumping on her car. But Beth McCann charges her.
Well, Beth McCann has, you know, the Joe Biden disease. She's in her mid-70s. So who knows in her department decide, yeah, this would be a good guy, a woman to go after. I mean, the fact that you know, there's one part of it that's a little questionable. She moves and he's got to get out of the way. But really, you know, she wasn't there to make trouble. She wasn't there to do anything wrong. She was just driving home or driving to work, wherever she was driving. And the protester jumps in her car. And Beth McCann is a highly political figure. And so she does the politically correct thing in Denver, which is to charge what is, in all indications, a totally innocent woman, knowing, you know, don't go against the mob here in Denver. It's sad. It's pathetic to know that your justice depends on which side of the line, of a county line, you're on. One, you may get totally indicted for something you didn't do, and the other, you don't. So it's a scary process.
It is. And keep in mind, too, the mob, I mean, that woman's life has probably been destroyed, right? I mean, she was all over the news. You know that they doxed her. They put her information out there. I'm sure she's received threats and death threats and all kinds of stuff, right? And now she's being criminally charged. She has to hire a lawyer. You know, and that's why when stupid Fox News says, oh, we can't talk about George Soros, when Newt Gingrich points out this is why George Soros is funding millions of dollars into district attorney races, that's why, because it's exactly like you said. If you live in a George Soros, you know, woke crowd-funded jurisdiction, you can be what anyone else would perceive to be the victim, only, you know, you're going to get charged. But if you live in George Brockler, decent, good, reasonable district attorney, right? Well, then, you know, I mean, then the bad guys get charged and the good guys or the innocent people don't get charged.
Mark tweeted in that that's why he's moving out of Denver as fast as he can, but you know, who knows, we can go fast enough. Arapahoe County DA's election is coming up in November, and the Democrats, who is a, you know, typical Democrat, is now going to be the favorite for that race. So I'm not sure where we move.
You know, and here's from Sandra. So happy to hear that George did not charge the driver of the vehicle. The damn rioters are getting away with criminal activities. Thank goodness this wasn't heard in Denver. The damn DA would have charged the Jeep driver, you can bet. Oh, exactly. The other thing that I think that's good is not only are they not charging the innocent people who were just caught up in the mob, right? But I think it's great that in Arapahoe County, and I'm going to give Dave Young, the Adams County DA, who is a Democrat, is doing similar. They're charging the organizers of these mob riots as well. And I think so, yeah, charge. I mean, the protester who fired the gun, I'm sure didn't mean to hit fellow protesters, right? But what's he bringing a gun to the protest for, right? If it's a peaceful protest, why is he shooting at the Jeep, right? The Jeep is driving away. The Jeep didn't hit him, wasn't driving toward, and or, you know, wasn't pointing at anyone. And yet he thinks it's okay in this mob mentality, because, hey, we all hate the cops after all, to go ahead and just randomly shoot at somebody that he disagrees with. Well, hey, Chuck, your video, you've frozen and your audio is down. Can you maybe try to re...
There you go. Okay. Your internet connection is unstable. Okay.
But you're good now. You're stable now, at least for the moment.
I'm stable now. Good. The drugs are kicking in.
But you know...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, there's another case where this is similar too, because just though, like in the Kentucky case, again, it's not all as simple as you might think. Like in the Kentucky case, if the cops had done their job with a no-knock warrant and had, you know, followed what anyone would think would be reonnable policy, Breonna Taylor would be alive and none of this would be happening, right? In the Aurora case, one of the things that Brockler talked about, because I watched the news conference he had, was the fact that the police were not able to block the cars from getting on the interstate, right? Well, here's my question. If the cops had done their job in that case too, then none of that would have happened, right? If the cops had, number one, arrested the people for going onto the interstate, they're breaking the law there, right? If they had prevented them from doing that, or at the very least, I could have told you they were going to go on the interstate. You could have said they were going to go on the interstate. That's what they do. They always go on the interstate, right? And the Aurora cops are like, hey, we had no idea they were going on the interstate. So they were scrambling to try to get ahead of the mob. Now, just where did they think the mob was going? I mean, when they're marching down Alameda westbound, I mean, that's a little bit of a hike, right? The cops had time. What are they doing? Where do they think they were going? What, are they going to go to Barnes and Noble or something like that for a
Maybe.
Latte? You know, I mean, no, they're clearly going to go to block the interstate. And why the cops, this is what you get, Aurora cops and Denver cops, when you don't enforce the law. When you think, oh, I'm going to placate the mob. Well, guess what? They're a mob. They can't be placated, right? So if you think, oh, we're just going to let the mob do whatever we want. I mean, to me, I think the officers who made the decision to not, number one, stop the protesters from going on the interstate and then surrounding all of these other vehicles. And number two, at the very least, not being prepared enough to block the interstate so that cars can't get on it. They had plenty of time to do that. To me, they're the ones who, I mean, I've you know, incompetence, but I don't even think it's incompetence. It was a decision, right? They, and I think the Aurora City Council members who allowed that situation to be created, they should be the ones held accountable. I mean, the two protesters got shot. They should sue the cops, right? The driver of the Jeep, he should sue the cops and the Aurora City Council members for allowing a situation to develop that was dangerous for everybody. That's what I think.
Well, what do you think is the political effect of all this? I mean, you know, normally you would assume that this would be a bad day for the party that backs the mob, which are the Democrats. So everything in Colorado indicates that the Democrats are ahead, and who knows about that, whether it's all mail-in ballots and a fraud in and of itself. But it's normally the Democratic process would take care of it. I'm not so confident it will with mail ballot fraud the way it is, the way the Democrats control it.
Well, I would think there were some polls out today. And again, if you want to weigh in, you can come in on Zoom or text us there or call in at 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. There are polls. I mean, ABC, again, polls, I like to quote the ones that go the way I want and trash the ones that don't go the way I want. So just having been, you know, polls I take with a grain of salt. But there does seem to be a trend in that Trump is trending up and Biden is trending down. ABC was freaking out this morning because their poll shows that Trump is now leading Biden in some of the battleground states. And apparently this law and order issue is one that is one of the things that's swaying people. I mean, I think from just anecdotally talking to people I know, people do blame the Democrat Party for this. The Democrat Party has embraced the mob initially, embraced the woke people, took way too long to speak out against the mob. And I think people identify the mob and the lawlessness with the Democrat Party. And I think they see Trump as somebody who's trying to do something about it.
Well, but then you always have people like Bloomberg, who's paying all the fines of 12,000 criminals to say, you know, so you can vote. It's really is a kind of an election where this is more 19th century politics.
Well, you know,
everything is corrupt. Everything is especially for a mayor of New York, who while he was mayor was very much law and order. In fact, excessively so. But now, you know, He wants to make sure that Biden and therefore the far left take over the country.
Well, and that is sort of is a whole different topic. But I mean, I think I'm surprised that it's legal, and I would think arguably it's not legal for a Bloomberg to pay the fines of felons so they can vote. I mean, that's got to be buying their vote, right? I remember in Chicago, there was one district where the council member or one of the gave everybody in the place of their own trash can, right? Because you had to normally buy them. And that was some kind of horrible fraud. Well, this seems even more blatant than that, right? I'm going to pay your fine so you can vote. Oh, by the way, here's your ballot. Here's my person standing by letting you know, because how do these felons know their fines have been paid, right? He's just going in there and paying their fine. He's not asking them, do they want their fine paid? So I'm sure somebody's showing up with a ballot saying, oh, guess what? We just paid your fine. And how do you want to vote while we're here, right? I mean, that just seems like total fraud.
Yeah, well, I think this whole election is going to be an amazing process, because the left is accusing, saying the right is going to rig the election. And the one thing you know is that Democrats always accuse their opponents of what they plan to do. And so it's going to be, I think, a battle royale.
It is. And I think, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before. There have been some over 200 lawsuits filed by the Democrats have set up organizations specifically to handle lawsuits around the voting process. Right. And they're filing them and they're going to challenge it. I think there is no way they're just going to allow Trump to take over. They tried to have the Russia hoax. That didn't work, right? They tried to impeach him. That didn't work. The guy just keeps coming back stronger, and he doesn't back down. And if he wins, which I'm beginning to think more and more likely he will win, right? If he wins, then they're not going to let him be president if they can do anything about it. So then they're going to do this, like you said, they're going to file all of these lawsuits and have court challenges going up. And, I don't know how that's going to play out. And well, they're saying, Don Lemon is saying, oh, people shouldn't criticize me for saying we're going to burn it all down. They're openly saying burn it all down, right? They're openly saying Joe Biden should not concede. They're openly saying Donald Trump can't be the president. And I think you're absolutely right. They're going to create chaos and violence if Trump wins, which I think it's likely he will.
Well, I'm not sure it's likely he will. I mean, I think it's very much a 50-50 proposition. But now, of course, we also have the Supreme Court candidate coming up, which will affect very much because all those cases will eventually end up in one form or the other on the Supreme Court.
Right.
And that's going to be fascinating. Are you still betting that Biden will not show up for the debates?
I still am. I don't know how he can. I know that people are saying, well, there's some drug they can give him that'll make him sharp for a little while. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, yes, I'm still betting he won't. Or it's going to be some kind of remote debate. Right. So he won't be there. There won't be live questions. And he's going to be sitting in his basement. We've already seen with the teleprompter. I mean, he has a hard enough time handling that. I still think they're going to come up with something so that he doesn't debate. I just don't see, even if you agree with everything he's saying, I think he's going to come across as not being able to say it very well, if at all.
Well, they think they can shoot him up. Apparently, there are various drugs, including amphetamines, that can allow him to kind of be a little more calm. Of course, when he was 100% cognitive, he wasn't very bright back then, but it's amazing.
Right. Yeah. And Sandra's saying, and we need another conservative on the Supreme Court since John Roberts is a turncoat. That's absolutely true. Well, let me ask you this, Chuck. I feel like, you're there, I'm here. I feel like I'm kind of interviewing you too. But what would your strategy be? So I think it's clear, let me back up. It's pretty clear the Republicans in the Senate have the votes to go ahead, and the president's announced he's going to announce his nomination Saturday at, I think, 3:00 Denver time. And so we'll know who it is. All accounts seem to be Amy Coney Barrett. There's certainly nobody being waved off of that, although we'll find out Saturday. But it appears that the Republicans have the votes to take it to, a hearing if they want, or to make this be a confirmation. If you were the Democrats and the Republicans, which would you want? Would you want a hearing, let's say if you're the Democrats, where you can trash Amy Coney Barrett, because that didn't work so well for them with Kavanaugh? Or if you're the Republicans, do you want to have the hearing to give the Democrats a chance to make themselves look bad? Or do you want to just go to a vote? Because apparently procedurally, they can just vote if they want and pass it that way. What would your, and let's be honest, truth, justice, and the American way have nothing to do with any of those decisions. It's all political strategy. You've done elections. What would your strategy be here?
Oh, I'd have the hearing. You have to have the hearing. One, to make it seem like you're doing the normal thing in a proper way. But two, she's very bright. She's not Joe Biden. And she can probably handle herself. She's been through an adversary hearing to get on the Seventh Circuit. And what are they going to do? I mean, Kamala Harris, how mean does she be? I mean, I think all the pressure's on them. And so I would definitely have the hearing. And that'll make great viewing, to tell you the truth. That and the Biden debate with Trump will be, must view for everybody.
Right. I tend to think you're right. I tend to think that if you're the Republicans, the Democrats have more to lose than you do, right?
Yes.
Because Amy Coney Barrett, as you said, she's been through a contentious hearing before and she handled that okay. I think the Democrat, now let me ask you that, if you're the Democrats, how hard do you attack her? Do you just sort of make a token effort? Do you try to Kavanaugh her, where you just make stuff up, outrageous stuff? Because I think that backfired on the Democrats the last time. But so how do you handle it if you're a Democrat?
Well, I mean, they've got to pick out some new lines of attack that you may not expect. And I don't think they can push it very hard because, quite frankly, the Republicans have the votes. It was very different with Kavanaugh because it was a close thing whether they could get it through, whether, Collins would vote for the candidate and stuff. Here, they clearly have the votes. They clearly have the ability to go through absent something going badly. So I think, to put everything in and still lose is never a good idea. So I think they have a very tough decision to make. What I'm terrified is that Trump will, you know, find that he likes Laid out of the Ninth Circuit, which we have I have a bet on with one of my good friends who's heard from Washington. That's the choice. But that would be insane, because now everybody's already calculated in
Amy Coney Barrett
is acceptable. So why throw somebody else new in there? That's the one right. That really tears me for Saturday, is if the president says,
go off the reservation there, so to speak, or go off the ranch. One thing I think, too, that I think we'll see is whatever they do, I suspect they'll let Kamala Harris play a leading role. They're going to try to make Kamala Harris look good in all of this. So we'll see. I kind of think you're right. I think if you're the Democrats, I don't think they're going to try to do a Kavanaugh, unless they want to try to delay it somehow, right? Unless they want to try to make it go longer or have the FBI investigate her some more or something like that. But we haven't seen any of that so far. So, you know, I guess you have to wait for the nominee. Oh, yeah. Sandra's saying, what the hell is wrong with Murkowski?
Well, it's been wrong with her a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Let me turn to something else then. And again, let folks know, feel free to call in 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Not surprisingly, if you watch CNN or ABC or the mainstream media, you're not going to see this story. But the Senate committee came out with a particularly hard-hitting, I thought, report on Hunter Biden and all of the money that the Biden family made while Joe was vice president, with Burisma, with China, using money that he got questionably from those organizations, apparently to pay for sex trafficking and prostitutes and things like that. I mean, that report if it had been Trump, right? I mean, if it had been Trump, it would have been all over the place, but now it's not on CNN or ABC. But I think that's a pretty damning report in terms of the corruption level of Joe Biden.
Well, you know, it is amazing how it just records nothing. You know, it's just gone, come in, con. The fact that Biden is totally corrupt. I mean, they can take a phone call the Democrats don't like and make an entire impeachment proceeding that at least Romney voted for. And Biden is shown to be as corrupt as you can be. I mean, it just couldn't be more clear. And that's okay. You know, it's amazing. It's just amazing. And well, they had Hunter on the... at the convention, at least by screen, along with his sister. But it's just amazing that if you're a Democrat, you can get away with virtually anything.
Well, yeah, and I think you look at particularly the China ties, right? You look at it, it's clear, and they're trying to say a foreign government trying to get Trump elected. It's like, you think China isn't trying to get, you know, Joe Biden elected? They already have their hooks into him. He's already made millions of dollars off of them, right? And Joe Biden and his family and family relatives and business partners, John Kerry's son is involved, or son-in-law. I mean, they're all making millions of dollars. China's paying them, and for what? Do we think, right? Hunter Biden's advice on anything? No. I mean, to me, the level of corruptness that report shows, I mean, I kind of thought, okay, yeah, they all kind of make money and they get to be a consultant, but we're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars here.
Well, yeah. And you know, Hunter managed to kind of skate pretty clear from his divorce proceeding.
Oh yeah. And that child
custody proceeding. Yeah. And so they're just good at corruption. They've worked many years at it. And you remember when Obama said, not even a hint of
scandal.
Corruption. And all they were was one big, you know, he traveled around the world and behind him was Hillary with the Clinton Foundation clearing up and anything they couldn't snarf down, the Bidens took into the family fortune.
Well, and that's why you go back to, again, why there is so much hatred and loathing and why they will stop at nothing to get rid of Donald Trump. I mean, he said that, you know, before he was elected, he said the deep state that he was going to get rid of. And we've seen how that deep state works with Hunter Biden. I imagine he got the biggest chunk of change because his dad was the vice president. But you know, it was going on with Dianne Feinstein. It's been going on with Nancy Pelosi. Heck, it was probably going on with John McCain. I got to wonder what's going on with Lindsey Graham, Mitt Romney, all of these guys, members of the swamp. And I'm sorry, Lindsey Graham, but I've got a lot of questions about you. this was how it worked in DC, right? And nobody had a problem with it. Like you said, there was no hint of corruption because nobody hinted at it. It was just corrupt and nobody had a problem with it, right? Donald Trump comes in and he disrupts that entire apple cart, gravy train, if you will. And they all want to get rid of him for that very reason. And he said that, he goes, there is no lie they won't tell. There is no depth they won't sink to in order to stop, in order to save themselves.
Sanders says she agrees with everything you said. I must admit, the only thing I disagree, there is no Mrs. Graham, in case you didn't know. Lindsey Graham is not married and it's no intention.
Oh, I didn't mean to say Mrs. Graham. I didn't mean to say that. Sorry. But yeah, so I think though, but that's the corrupt there, right? And that's, I think what was going on in China, that's why nobody was horrified. And I think that's probably why some senators didn't want to talk about it, because they're all participating in it in one way, shape, or form also. That's, I think, why you see the generals turning against Trump. That's why you see the State Department turning against Trump. This was how Washington, D.C. worked. And I think he really did start to turn things around as much as possible. And, you know, again, that's why this whole China Burisma thing, I don't think it's a shock to anybody there. What's shocking is that somebody has a problem with it.
Well, you know, it's amazing. Mattis has been on 60 Minutes. He also on the 11th hour. And he seemed to be saying that we have to spend our whole lives worrying about Russia, which they acknowledge has an economy less than Texas, but not China.
Right.
Which is probably the world's biggest economy. And then Vladimir Putin is happy. Happy with what? What can he do? I mean,
it's
comical. It's comical. And the Washington establishment, wherever it was, decided, hey, if we blame Russia or everything, well, we can take all our payments from China and Hollywood and everywhere else.
Look at the NBA in China, right? I mean, Hollywood, while they're busy telling us to be woke, they're adopting and changing entire movies so they can sell them in China so as not to offend the Chinese, right? It's, I mean, the level of hypocrisy there is insane. One other thing too, I wanted to bring up, because I know you've been busy working on the papers. So Trump today, I'm trying to find my notes. I think he did this just to make the woke progressive left head explode. So for years, they've been trying to get through Congress an order, a law that would require medical care be given to babies who are born alive after a failed abortion attempt, right? And so today, at a religious meeting, Trump said that he was going to sign an executive order doing that, right? And so, you know, requiring that medical care be given to infants born alive after a failed abortion attempt. Now, number one, why that should even be necessary astonishes me, right? There's something clearly wrong with the society that says, okay, we tried to kill the baby. It didn't work. Now the baby's been born alive. So we're just going to let it die. I mean, there's something evil about that. Yes, a ghoulish and evil. But I think Trump, because they're all freaking out on the left over the Supreme Court nomination, they're like, you heard Geraldo Rivera saying, all this is about abortion. It's like, well, no, Geraldo, I mean, that might be a factor, but there's a lot more at stake here than just abortion, right? But Joe Biden keeps saying, you know, women will have no control over their bodies, blah, blah, blah. The Denver Post had an editorial of the due date too late saying, we should not allow police and prosecutors in the delivery room. It's like, what? And so I think Trump then signs this executive order, which you tell me, I mean, frankly, I'm not sure, can he sign, can this be an executive order that people have to follow? I mean, you can do executive orders that relate to organizations or government agencies that you control, but can he just issue an executive order like that?
Well, you know, after Obama got away with his DACA executive order, then what executive order can't you give anymore? I mean,
that's what
all the rules
Obama did. That's what Obama
did. It's just all of a sudden you can do whatever you want. And I think that's the one thing Trump has gotten from these cases recently is that, well, you know, the president can do whatever he wants. I mean,
challenge it. I'm going to sign it. Well, and here's the thing. I think he does that, number one, because it makes his base happy, right? And number two, he has a good way. It's kind of like that movie Up where we go squirrel, right? And it'd be a shiny object over here and all the dogs would go chase the squirrel, right? I think this is a similar thing where Trump, he kind of just, I think, likes to sort of throw like grenades out there and all the media go squirreling away over there and they're freaking out and their heads are exploding over this executive order, right? And in the meantime, you know, and they're making themselves sound like idiots and the Democrats all sound like idiots saying, and he puts them in a position of saying, no, you should be able to kill the baby after it's born, right? I mean, how do you argue that that's a good idea?
Well, you probably don't. You probably argue that it's beyond his authority, but you know, you're right. In the fact, it's, we want to kill the babies, you know, we're baby killers.
How dare Trump issue an order saying that we have to keep baby, we have to give medical care to babies born alive? How dare he say
how
that's
dare
just,
he?
Yeah, that's just
outrageous.
That's outrageous. That's craziness there. So I think he does that kind of thing. Well, first, I think, well, because personally, and people may disagree with me on that, but I'm not so sure. My guess would be Trump probably fell among the more pro-choice degree there on that scale. Although this, I think, is clearly outrageous. But I think that Trump, I suspect he did this in part because he thought it was a good idea, but also in part just to make the left's head explode.
Right. And hopefully keeps that up. It's going to be fascinating, and you know, I every day I can't believe that you're not right about Biden not debating, because you know they wake him up at 8 o'clock in the morning and say, you know, how's his brain? They go, that's pretty scrambled. They go, okay, we're putting on a lid today, folks, and you know, we'll tell you tomorrow whether we're putting a lid. I mean, he must be really shot.
Well, and the reporters apparently are starting to get upset about Kamala Harris because they can't put Kamala Harris out there if they can't put Joe Biden out there, right? And so they're like, well, she's not answering any questions either. Yeah, now here's the only thing. This is what I think we need to watch out for. First of all, I don't trust Chris Wallace at all. He's right. Just a snake. He's an anti-Trump snake. And the fact that they're giving the topics ahead of time, right? So I think what could happen that they'll do a remote debate and that Joe Biden, that's why they're giving him just these, I mean, the questions are very non-specific, right? It's just kind of like, what's your position on this? Well, Joe Biden, he could give an answer he memorized 10 years ago that would fit for any of those things, right? There's no new information he has to process, no new information he has to regurgitate, anything like that. It's just going to be the same old platitudes he's been saying for 47 years. And I think that's why those questions are so lame that Chris Wallace put out there are the topics. So I could see them having a teleprompter here so he can read the answers, right? Because the expectations are so low. All Joe Biden has to do is get through the debate. Right. And he could simply pretend, I don't know what, there's some sort of technical glitch that he can't hear Trump or something like that. Right. Or just not respond to Trump. But I don't know that they can trust Biden. I mean, I could see that being the debate format. Well, I don't think they're going to let that happen. I think that something they can't. There's way too much at stake. There's way too much at stake to leave this. I mean, I think the American people, most of them know that Joe Biden is a Trojan horse, right? And I think they know that he's not at his best, let's say that. But they cannot, I think, afford to have him just completely fall apart. And we've seen the interviews. We saw that one. I don't know if folks have seen this. It's been out there on social media where Telemundo is interviewing him. And clearly, and there are people asking questions. And clearly, the answers were given ahead of time because you can see in the wide shot the teleprompter sitting there that Biden's trying to read, right? And so they ask him a question about immigration and deportation. And he kind of rattles on, and then all of a sudden he sort of stumbles, and then he goes, "Oh, I missed that line there." And then this is how you also know it's rigged. Then the reporter goes, "Hey, don't worry." Basically, the reporter says, "Don't worry, we can fix that. You and I can talk around that." Now, I'd be curious to know who leaked that video, but I mean, clearly, he can't answer the questions on his own. He's got to have something right there. And clearly they have to have the questions in ahead of time. We already know what Donna Brazile gave him to Hillary Clinton ahead of time. So, you know, from CNN.
Chris Wallace will give him the questions ahead of time, probably.
Well, yeah. Exactly. And again, that's why they're going to be so broad, because I think people who have dementia or Alzheimer's kind of thing, they can handle stuff from the past, right? So I'm sure he could blurt out the same old platitudes, like I said, he's been repeating for 47 years. He can probably do that, but he can't talk about new stuff. He can't talk about, you know, the new Supreme Court decisions. He can't talk about anything current going on, I think, anyway.
Well, Sandra wanted to know why the left voted for Biden. And I think that's by and large because it became weird. It all the people were supposed to be doing well, they did poorly, and all of a sudden they were left with either Bernie or Biden, and they just couldn't stomach Bernie. So I mean, they started out. I mean, well, the Republicans were the same 4 years ago, where they said, "Well, Donald Trump has no chance," and then all of a sudden he was the only one left.
Right. So but more than that, remember though, Ted Tripp explained to us what happened. We had him on our show
right after something happened.
He said what happened is all the big money people realized that Biden was losing, and it looked like Bernie Sanders, or one of those very progressive people, was going to win. And the big money donors said, hey, we can't have that going on. And so what they did is they called, I mean, Ted said, it was behind the scenes, backroom cigar politics. The big donors called the other candidates and said, you guys got to drop out. Right. And so they
got Chris has popped up. Chris Doty.
Hi, guys.
Let's get him on.
Hey, Chris.
You got one more room for one more in the pool today?
We do. Go ahead. Jump in.
I want to ask you a question. And I'm not the political animal you guys are. So I want to know what your thoughts are. I travel around the city and I'll see 1,000, 1,200 people in a week, go to very large meetings, drive through neighborhoods. I am not seeing any Democratic presence. As far as signs, I'm not seeing any energy in their campaigns. I mean, I'll be with Casper Stockham or different political candidates around the city, and I'm seeing an energized force taking place. I think Trump, and I'm going to use the word polarized, I'm going to shift gears. I think he's polarized in the way that this is good and this is bad. Abortion, late-term abortions are bad. We're not going to do that. And we're seeing that even on some of the political ballots and the recalls and things like that right now. Your thoughts, do you think the Democrats might have lost their edge a little bit in Colorado? Let's look at Cory Gardner and Hickenlooper and some other things. Is there a dark horse chance that we're going to see the Republican Party fight back from the trenches?
Well, you know, what I think is that you want one thing, signs don't go up in most places. They're not allowed till 45 days before the election, which is coming up pretty quickly. So
I think we're just inside that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting one. And I get the feeling that there is very little enthusiasm for Biden. I don't think anybody's enthusiastic about Biden. There's plenty of hatred for Trump, and that's what drives him and motivates him. But I don't think there's very little of Democratic enthusiasm for their candidate. And the question, will that go all the way down the line for Hickenlooper and everything else?
Chris, I think so too. And I think you could, and actually we're going to have George Anthonisopoulos. He's done some more digging into how people are spending their money, which can be assigned. We're going to have him on Friday because he's gone to being actually optimistic about Republican chances in Colorado. I think the Democrats gambled and are going to lose. They thought they could keep us all locked down with coronavirus. And they spread that fear so much that they put themselves in a box. Now, if you're telling everyone they can't go out because they're going to kill everybody and they're going to die, well, now you can't go knock on people's doors, right? They've scared all of their people. So they have relied for years on their ground game, and they don't have much of a ground game.
And now they don't have the ground game.
Yep. They don't have the ground game. And in the meantime, the Trump people, I don't know that the Colorado Republican Party has got its act together, but the Trump people, and I'm getting the sense the Cory Gardner people kind of have their act together. And so Trump is out there holding rallies. He's meeting people. I get 3 or 4 emails a day from Republican groups in Colorado saying, come pick up your Trump sign, your Casper sign, things like that, right?
Exactly.
And I do. I mean, I subscribe to both, right? And I'm not getting that from the Democrats.
Because we're not participating with the Democrats, and we're just not aware of it. The big money that would normally come to Colorado during a presidential election got spent somewhere else. They decided Colorado was in the bag. You know, we've got a we got a Democrat governor, and they've got it. They've got it won. And I think they might be a little bit late to the dance.
Well, this is what George Anthonisopoulos pointed out. He said, you got to remember, Jared Polis, the governor, put $23 million of his own money into that race, right? And apparently the machine that geared up with that money to elect Polis is non-existent in Colorado Democrat circles right now, right?
And you have to remember, as the first gay candidate for governor, he had a lot of social presence where people get together and so forth. They thought that was a great idea. None of that goes together with Biden. Hickenlooper. No, he's lost whatever mojo he had. So it'll be interesting to see whether Trump, all of a sudden, the polls are such that Trump, he's got a chance in Colorado and really starts
coming in.
To
play. Yeah.
Well, see, they were concerned about being Corey Trump, and it might be a nice coattail to ride. A Trump voter could easily switch off and help us carry some of the other lesser positions out there.
I think you're right. Hey, Chris, astute observation.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you. You too. Hey, and Chuck, actually, that's going to wrap it up. You want to talk real briefly about how Cenogenics is doing for you?
No, but I'll report in Friday, give you my weight and everything else. Just read the number. People have heard the pitch, but it really is extraordinary.
You can check out Cenogenics. Your biological age does not have to affect you as much as you think it does. You can certainly improve. Just check it out, Dr. Julie McCallan, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. 3681, also show sponsored by ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Check them out too. Okay, that'll wrap it up for us on this Friday. On this Wednesday.
Every day is a Friday.
Remember, you can catch the podcast at ChuckandJulie.com. Would love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube or follow us and like us on YouTube or follow us and like us on Facebook, Chuck and Julie at Facebook, and on Twitter at ChuckandJulie1. Thank you to everybody who listened in, who called in, and thank you to the great folks there at BBS. And I guess, Chuck, we'll see everybody on Friday.
We appreciate the good folks at Colorado Citizen Press, too. And we'll be back for our next show, which will be what, Julie?
Party Friday.
There you go.
See y'all later.